Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
You know, I've been
kind of get excited, like, oh shit, what's Raz gonna say?
I've been very vocal, and I've been holding back with a lot of restraints because I've been doing a lot of work on myself, and I just really just, you know, I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
So what do you have us eating today as your broke dish?
Well, you know, for me, I can only remember when it was brought to me. Like, it was either, like, my main dish was top ramen, right?
Top ramen.
And it was hard for me to choose because it was either top ramen, it was either, you know, an egg sandwich, you know what I'm saying, with some mayonnaise on the bread,
yeah,
or like a tuna sandwich or a peanut butter sandwich. But I feel like I eat top ramen more.
Yeah,
so I chose top ramen today.
Yeah, and we went back and forth, just so you guys know. A lot of our guests choose top ramen. I'm always like vetoing top ramen.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's the cheapest, a cup of noodles.
It's because everyone's dish goes into a cookbook. And I know that top ramen is, it's a popular dish. The only time I accept top ramen on the show is if you have tweaked it. But Raz says that he does tweak his. What do you do to yours?
I mean, there's times I've put tuna in it. Mm-hmm. There's times that I put eggs in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's times that I just put a lot of different seasonings just to try to figure out, like, teriyaki sauce, oyster sauce. Like, you just trying to figure the different noodles. But like for real, I would love to come back because I have a few other broke dishes now that like, because when
your wheels are turning, right?
Yeah, because you opened up that.
Hey, let me turn this down.
Yeah, uh-huh. You opened up that you know that portal of what it was like to be broke. Like, what the fuck was niggas eating? Like, motherfuckers was eating like Jack in the Box tacos for $1. You know what I'm saying? Dude, 2 tacos for $1.
I still love those, by the way.
I still eat them.
Hey, listen. Like that's like listen. When I go to Jack in the Crack and people are like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Curly fries and some two for one tacos."
I'm
right?
I think you two talk for about $1, right? Never forgetting where you came from. So never for real,
yeah.
But yeah, that's why I chose Star Ramen. But now that I know that you're building a cookbook. You know, I would love to come back, you know what I'm saying, because we have a bunch of other things
I can still get that
about.
Recipe, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, why don't you start us off?
All right, cool.
All y'all listeners, y'all know how the top ramen goes. You boil the hot water, and you go from there. So
it's real simple. We're going to keep it light and simple. But let me tell you this. When your boy was, you know how many times I've been seeing it? How many of y'all like tasting the seasoning just by itself?
Really?
Yes, the seasoning is good. It reminds you of that chicken seasoning in the cup with the little squares. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, the bouillon?
Listen, oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, see, I think it's called bouillon.
I don't cook, but I will tell you this. There's been many times where I just went in my mama's cabin. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to put this in here and put this in here.
We are you going to do two or one?
Two is always better.
So I had a guest one time. They said that they would save half of the. They would eat a ramen one pack, and they would save half for like lunch and half for.
I mean, y'all
later.
Break y'all shit. Y'all break y'all shit. Too? Yeah. Break the second half.
You break. Don't dump that little seasoning packet.
Oh shit! It's in there. Well, we got to get it out.
It's how you know Raz isn't in the kitchen a lot.
Yeah, we not in the kitchen at all.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All right, so. I have another question. When you do your ramen, I like to do my ramen where it's like cooked, not all the way mushy.
Then
I drain it a little bit so it's a little more dry. How do you do yours?
It depends on how I feel that day, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will completely drain it and I'll put some butter in, which I'm going to put some butter in it and some mm-hmm. seasoning salt, you know. Maybe we add some tuna, probably we'll put some tuna in there and maybe mm-hmm. an egg. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I drain it. Sometimes I drain it and I put like a lot of butter in. I just have it like really, really dry. And sometimes I leave the soup because I think the soup is pretty good too.
Yeah, I like the soup, but after having ramen like 800 and million thousand gazillion times, I do the draining and I do the butter mixture. But you've seen so much success in your life. I like to go back to the time when you were eating this ramen.
Okay.
So with you, you have an interesting story because I'm assuming you were broke before you were successful. Mm. And then there was a period in the middle, I'm sure, where it dipped a little bit and then it picked up again. So which part of the ramen story do we get today?
Oh, that's a good question. You get the story from the ramen when I was just starting out. And I'm sure you probably get that from most people. In this industry, if you are not financially, financial literacy is everything in this business. So I'm sure a lot of artists have took a dip and splurged and ran through money because they didn't know how to manage it with credit and so on and so forth. So I've definitely experienced some heartaches in my life where I've ran through some money and I've been fortunate enough to be able to, you know, continue to move forward, you know what I'm saying, with learning how to manage money and continue to grow what funds I get. Like if you get 100K, you know what I'm saying? Don't just run through it. You know what I'm saying? You can actually invest 100,000 and turn it to 500,000. Yeah. Turn that 500,000 into 5 million. So, you know, I recall my mom always being gone at work. And, you know, as a kid, you're growing up and you really don't know how to cook for yourself. So the easiest thing you can do, you can take some ramen, heat the water up, and then, you know, you can actually cook some ramen in a microwave. You know, but the easiest thing for me is I learned, you know, to boil the water and put the ramen in there. And I just used to get really, really creative and eat that ramen and remember think as a kid, what do I want to do when I get older? On top of like waiting for cartoons to come on and different things like that. But like there was always this sense of destiny that I had upon my life. And I feel that's for everyone, you know, that comes to this earth, excuse me, had a sense of destiny. It's just really all about figuring, you know, you kind of grow into your spirituality. You have to grow into your enlightenment. You have to grow into your discipline. You have to embrace the world. But at the same time, excuse me, you have to learn how to be in the world, not of the world. So for me, you know, this dish represents like humility for me. It represents, it takes me back to the time when I was just a kid, just cooking that, thinking and dreaming, you know, and even at times, as I got older, I still found myself eating ramen. I wound up living in China when I was, well, I had some success. I had a lot of success actually at 15.
Yeah, before you went to China. When you were saying that you were thinking about your destiny and while making this, did you think, okay, I'm going to be a music star or a dancer? Like, what were you thinking when you were thinking about your destiny?
You know.
Do you need to turn that up or no?
I turned it down actually because okay. I'm going to cook it for a little bit. That's a really good question. I would definitely say with a child likes faith, there was a lot of times my mind just wandered. And I felt like as I got older, I finally had to kind of like get back into what I used to like or what I used to think about. And that's kind of hard to remember. What do you used to think about and dream of as a kid? I think one of the biggest things that for me, it was always having a major platform. It was always being a voice. It was always being a light. It was always making people laugh, right? So at a young age, I recall being like, I learned how to drive a stick shift at like 8, 9 years old, right? So I would take the car to the store, to the Mexican market. But a lot of times my mom would tell me, she remembered that there would be times that I would go to the Mexican market and I would be like acting like I was singing Spanish and, you know, imitating different Spanish songs that I heard and dancing. And, you know, for me, that sparked a level of entertainment because I wasn't afraid to, you know, to
put be on
the,
a show.
Yeah, and be the eyeball in the room, per se. And, you know, to give a person a chuckle or a laugh, it brought me great joy that I was able to give them joy. So I think that's something that I actually held on to, being a class clown and different things like that. But once again, I say this dish actually really represents, like, the times when I, you know, didn't know what to cook. You know, it was the cheapest thing to buy. There was times where, you know, money was just really, really short. That's like a go-to.
But now you said that when you were a child, but you lacked faith. Like, what? Why would you say that?
Did I say lack faith?
Yeah, you said lacked faith.
I don't recall saying that, but if I
did. Oh, I thought you did. Because I was like, that's interesting that you said that.
I mean, maybe I did lack some faith. I mean, you know. I mean, if I did say that, I would say to this that your faith is challenged and you may believe in something as a kid, but you have people around telling you that you can't be a scientist. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to take you 33 years. Like, damn, thanks for discouraging me. But they gave me the truth at the same time. So it's like, but a kid can't process that at a young age, right? No. You kind of need that pat on the back and say, yeah, you can do it. And if you do see, you know, that interest is really there for a kid, you have to continue to put those roadblocks in front of them so they can continue to elevate, if that's what it is. Because I feel like a lot of us I feel like everyone should know physics to the highest level. I feel like we're all scientists. I feel like we're all super intelligent, the way our bodies are made, the way the universe works. And I just feel like we've been taught to be dumbed down versus to be super enlightened. And I feel like when I look at countries like China and how they brought 700 million people out of poverty in 30 years, that's how you empower a culture, right?
Yeah.
And you wonder why the yen, the Chinese yen, is the number one currency in the world, which I knew that was going to happen eventually anyway, because the way America is running their currency.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other conversation.
That's a definite whole other conversation.
So gems.
How old were you when you started B2K, when you got into B2K?
That's a good question. Probably like 13 and a half, 14 maybe.
13 and a half. So what led to that? So you're 8. So what I'm gathering is like you're 8 years old. You're definitely not your typical 8 year old. I don't know 8 or 9 year olds driving stick shift cars and rolling down the street.
Yeah.
So how did that 9 year old self transition into like a B2K moment?
That's a good question. You know, having family in the industry, you know, I would definitely say that was a segue. That was definitely a path, a bridge.
You know, your family that was in the industry?
Chris Stokes is my cousin.
Oh, okay.
Right. And my brother was really more interested in the music industry per se than me. So there was times where he brought me along for his talent shows and we had this little group called Brothers 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to give like people a little context of my life, you know, my mom was going through an abusive relationship at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was in and out of foster homes. So around the ages of 12 and a half, 13, my cousin Chris Stokes was able to take over guardianship for me. And I think it was pretty cool that just kind of like growing up and seeing different groups and different being inspired by some of his work, that I had an opportunity to be around something that inspired me, which was as a kid was a light, right? There's a lot that comes along with being inspired and you got to make sure you follow the right lights, right? I feel like I learned a lot of great things over there. And for the most part, I was able to grow into myself. And he provided an opportunity. It was a group that he was working with called Melodic. And that group was consisted of four members, which was J Boog, mm-hmm. Little Fish, and Jaheed, which was which is Jhené Aoko's brother, mm-hmm. and our brother Trey. And we it was kind of, I felt like the oddball that joined the group, because they already had a four-man group, and I was like the fifth member. Yeah. But like, now that I'm older, I never asked anybody about this. I would like to know, why did they accept me? I kind of felt like maybe because my cousin had, you know, previous success in the industry and had relationships, and I don't really know the politics behind that, but they accepted me. I kind of feel like the oddball, but I felt like I eventually fit in a group. Mm-hmm. And we went on to travel to multiple different labels, auditioned for them, sung for them. Nobody signed us. So, but we came across one label that thought the three of us, which was J Boog, myself, and Fizz, they thought we were pretty dope. And they felt like we were just missing the right lead singer, because they felt like the other two guys maybe looked a little too older, mm-hmm. for the group, which I thought, I didn't really think about it till now, but maybe they did. They looked a little bit more mature, mm-hmm. than we did. And the three of us had a chemistry, which those two guys went on to start another group called Final Four and got signed to MCA. So I was happy that they had that experience. But B2K actually went on to do our thing.
You three, this was prior to Omarion.
This is prior to Omarion getting in the group. Okay. We went through about a good year and a half, 2 years before we met Omari.
So you have the three of you guys, and they're like, let's search for a lead. And then where does Omarion come in?
Well, that's a good, I'm going to give you some more context and mm-hmm. give you some more details. So that label that actually seen the vision was Epic Records. At the time, I believe, I don't want to get caught up with titles, but I know Dave McPherson was probably either the president or vice president or, you know, a really top executive, along with Polly Anthony. Rest in peace, Polly. We love you. Thank you for everything. And Tommy Mottola was a top guy.
Okay.
And we were very fortunate enough to have meet with Max Goose. We love you, Max. I can't forget Max. Max was the one of the main champions for B2K, mm-hmm. you know, who brought in Dave McPherson. Dave McPherson signed Backstreet Boys. So that was pretty cool, too. And so we had people with experience of boys groups. And it was crazy because the negotiations went back and forth. You know, at one minute they were interested in signing us. And they were interested, but they didn't have the fourth member. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was an artist, don't know his name, but it was along the lines of like, I don't know, sorry, I don't want to butcher it. But I think Keith Sweat had a solo artist, mm-hmm. that potentially was thinking about putting him in a group. That guy never popped up. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's looking good. So that guy never, you want to eat with me?
Yeah, I'm eating with
okay,
you.
Okay, well, this is, hey, listen.
We're going to eat together.
It's going to take a brother back. Mm-hmm. There was a...
You don't put the seasoning in first?
Well, I mean, I think everybody likes their own season, so I wasn't here. Let me get your bowl.
Okay, I'm watching you. I'm eating it the way you eat it.
Oh, okay, then.
So,
I mean, well,
if you can season it however you like.
I mean, you know, yeah. I'm going to be nice today. I cooked the noodles. I'm going to let you put...
Okay.
I do put butter and seasoned salt on. Those are like my main two ingredients, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are my go-to. Seasoned salt, man, you put that shit on anything. Mm-hmm. But... But yo, so that artist never popped up. So it was three of us just lingering around. So I remember meeting Omarion at Marcus Houston's 18th birthday party, and I thought he was dope. He was I think he had his Timberland boots on, he had his cornrows, you know what I'm saying? He was a background dancer for Before Dark. And here you go.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And he's like a background dancer for Before Dark. He had his cameos, he was doing his thing, and I like the fact that he was already in the industry. He wasn't afraid to get in the circle. Some people be afraid to get in that circle when mm-hmm. dancers be mm-hmm. dancing and they make the circle at like a party or something like that. So I was like, yo, this guy's cool. So I remember me and the guys, we were having a conversation. We was like, yo, we need to chop it up with him. I'm not sure if we all walked off like to the side and maybe we walked in the bathroom or we walked out. I don't remember all the fine details. But what I do remember is we had a conversation with the guy, and he wasn't opposed to joining the group, being a solo artist already or pursuing his dreams. We thought he would be a good fit because at this time we were already on the radar of the labels.
Yeah.
Right.
But you guys didn't have the official signature deal.
We didn't have the official signature deal.
Okay.
So I use this season. That may be too much for me, for some people. I take this. If you need more seasoned salt, I take this. And of course I take the butter.
I always take the butter.
Okay, I typically put the butter in.
You put the butter in first.
Yeah.
Okay, so Omarion, at the time you meet him, he's a singer/dancer, or is he mainly a dancer?
He was actually a rapper. And he Mario was a background. Was a yeah, he's a rapper. Box of Wheaties, the eat the feed the greedies. He had his little rapper he used to always do. But Amari was lit. No, Amari's always been lit. You know what I'm saying? He had his Pops commercial. He was working with mm-hmm. his company called I think it was called Abrams or something like that. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Was it Abrams? Yeah, it was Abrams, nigga. But Amari was dope. Me and Amari actually really got along. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool that he actually joined our group. Mm-hmm. You're right, I should have pulled him out a little sooner.
Go on.
But I thought it was dope. Mario eventually, after we had that meeting in the bathroom or in the hallway, wherever that was, Amari wound up coming up to the house and we kind of danced for him and we did our little routines mm-hmm. and we showed we displayed our talents mm-hmm. and he displayed his talents. Then we started immediately learning routines
okay.
together. Mm-hmm. And as we started to look, like it was the chemistry was there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million-dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Okay. I think the biggest thing that we lacked at that time was vocally. So it took some time for us going to, you know, really learn how to use our instruments. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I believe everybody can sing, but you just got to train your voice. You know what I'm saying? And then find out what's good for you. And I think there's a lot of artists that came, you know, through this business that actually have, I'm going to put just a little bit on this because I forgot how thick that shit is.
So how long did it take for you guys from bringing Omarion on, practicing and exploring your vocals together, how long did it take before you guys got signed?
Well, you know, just like the first group, which was called Melodic, it was about five of us in the group. Like I said, I was the fifth member, the awkward guy. Nah. Mm-hmm. But after many people passed up on us, uh-huh. You know, eventually we went through that little phase, that down period where we had our hopes up high, thinking there was a member was going to come in, and we got the label there, kind of interested in us already, and then that just dies, right?
So we Crystal managing you? Or
yeah, no? Yep. And then we come back, from what I recall, uh-huh. we get Omari, and then we go through all of the labels again.
Jeez.
Right?
Uh-huh.
They all pass. There was a level of interest where Arista Records and L.A. Reid was courting us for some time because mm-hmm. Lil Silence was involved. Rest in peace to Lil Silence. And it was really interesting to the fact that they still passed on us. So now we're still in this same, like, entanglement with Epic Records. And, you know, we would see them at different industry events because mm-hmm. B2K kept going. And now we got the four. We still, even though you're on the signers, we still moving.
Now you guys are still performing wherever you can.
We still perform wherever we can. We building the buzz. Mm-hmm. We're on World Star. We're on Word Up magazines. You know, now we're in Bow Wow's Ghetto Girls video. Now we're in, hold on. Let me pause it. Were we signed? Max, were we signed? I'm going to have to call you after this. Were we signed when we did the Ghetto Girls video? I don't know. We got to come back to that one. That's different. Mm-hmm. But we did so much to the label to where we did so much. So when we came back to the label, I remember meeting like Tease Williams, who managed 3OW over at Soul Train, and that was set up by management because they had relationships, and they let us meet. But now that I'm older, I realize that meeting led to Marvin Pearton mm-hmm. because we've been circling around this label for a long time.
Yeah,
Marvin Pearton had a little, I think, a higher status than maybe Max Goose, mm-hmm. and maybe was in a different lane in the company than mm-hmm. Dave McPherson. But somehow he had the ear of Polly Anthony. Polly's right under Tommy. Mm-hmm. So somehow, I don't know how it happened, but we wind up performing for the entire label inside of 550 Madison in New York. Because okay. everybody's like, who the fuck is this group? Why are they fucking like, what is all this energy about this group?
Yeah.
We wind up shutting the building down.
So like other departments are coming over to watch.
Everybody that was in Sony came in the lunch cafeteria. They set up a stage for us.
Okay,
they actually
nice.
Spent money on us. They flew us out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were still courting us. You know what I'm saying? And finally, we got that opportunity to perform for Tommy Mottola. And Tommy Mottola was like, you know, we performed for him by ourselves. And he pulled the trigger. Yay. But it was a crazy journey. Like, you know, it took some years. You know, but in 1999, I remember getting that deal. I had tears in my eyes. It was. We were so excited because it was something that we worked so hard for, especially at the time where we felt like the label, our production company, was going to drop us. You know, they didn't really want to. You know, they didn't think it was going to be able to happen because they spent so much money to get us to what we got. There was times where we even added a fifth member from another group called Third Story mm-hmm. to be a part of the group.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying?
So you guys were really beating the pavement. So when you get your deal, you get signed. Now, B2K what year was it that you got signed in 99, but what year was the tipping point where everybody was like, beans are going everywhere?
Oh, nice.
Sorry. Slurp them ramens. No, because B2K kind of like popped on the scene and exploded. It wasn't like a gradual, like, you know, like when you look at Rihanna's career, Rihanna was dropping records before Umbrella, and then Umbrella took and then it just, you know, I mean, B2K kind of went right away. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Well, Rihanna's story is different. Rihanna got signed by Jay-Z out the gate. She was doing talent shows. B2K was already in the industry.
But that's what I'm saying,
affiliated though. Because of the people that we had behind us, Immatures, the Chris Stokes and stuff. So we had a little bit more access. So I feel like it may appear for some people like it happened overnight, mm-hmm. but for us, it didn't. We were lit.
I'm saying from the time you signed, though. From the time you signed. I'm not talking about before, because it sounds like you guys ran a marathon. I'm saying, like when you signed, how fast did it go from signing to multi-platinum?
That's a really good question. But to put you right there, uh-huh. in the little middle part, uh-huh. because we were lit, we got offered a superstar deal, not a little development deal. So they already knew we was gonna pop.
Okay.
So for people who just seen us in 2001 after we got our deal in late 1999, mm-hmm. fourth quarter 1999, we spent that whole 2000 working on our album.
Okay.
You feel me?
Okay.
So it was already, you know, it put millions behind it. So it was going to pop. They already knew the group was dope. It was really just about finding the right records. So to give you that, between 1999 when we got signed, fourth quarter, like, I don't know, October, November, December, somewhere around there, spent that year recording. Our first album came out March 12, 2001, and they had to put the singles number. It was 13 weeks at number one. It sold over 500,000 copies.
What single was that again?
Uh-huh. And it was produced by Tricky Stewart. Mm-hmm. It even won us a Billboard Award, but they pulled that record back because I believe they put like a little special DVD with it. Like it was a DVD with the video attached to the single, and they pulled it back because they wanted to save that for the album that was coming. Mm-hmm. That single would have won probably. I don't know the sound scan today, but it probably went on to be a platinum single. Mm-hmm. But during that time, it took us about three to six months to break that record. Mm-hmm. The visual really helped break the song. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't know, even though we're an urban group, mm-hmm. we actually had a pop record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We were number one on the Hot 100s for 13 weeks.
Yeah.
So that was some big shit. And then when you got the support of a $1 billion company spending millions behind you, you're going to get access to everything.
Now, was that, so at the time, now this is, you know, the industry has been notorious for taking advantage of groups. Or there have been groups that have been taken advantage of in the industry. So you guys are a young group of guys. Mm. You're teenagers, right? Mm. You get signed, you get this deal, but you do come from the industry. So I'm guessing your deal wasn't like a terrible deal, right?
I believe B2K got a good deal, but you got to understand, you know, you can't fault, you know, people perish from lack of knowledge, right? A lot of people want to fault the labels. Like, the way math is put together, it's like math magicians, right? The way the industry is put their, you know, at that old business model mm-hmm. that is now different, has evolved and changed. A lot of these labels will say, hey, we spend all these millions of dollars and we make you into this, but we don't get any money from touring, merchandise, this. So that's why they started creating 360. So you got to think about the labels.
Yeah.
If I was spending my money as a label, I'm like, yo.
They got to recoup it.
Not only do they got to recoup it, I made this human being and I put this artist to where he's at.
Yeah.
Right? So some people like to complain. You just have to look at the deal. You have to try to negotiate the best deal for yourself. You know what I mean? And take accountability for what type of deal that you signed. Don't be mad at hey, listen, if I'm in business, you got some, I don't want to say shiesty, but you got some people that's going to try to negotiate better than you, mm-hmm. right? Negotiate. If you feel that it's not at the time, maybe you shouldn't take that deal. That's when people say, hey, you sold out, right? Maybe you shouldn't have folded so early. Maybe you should have just went on, like, for example, B2K. If we would have maybe held out a little bit longer, maybe we would have got an even better deal, mm-hmm. right? But you got to be grateful for the fact that we were able to get to a point, which is, like, very rare, right, to get a superstar deal, not just a development deal or a little small product, like a really major deal, and have the whole label and company behind you pushing you. That's major. That's massive. Yeah. You have to blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't blow up, people getting fired.
Were you guys looking at the marketing budget going, yes, this is definitely a big deal?
Well, you know, for me, I didn't see it, but I knew about it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, you know, but I knew it was some millions.
So what was the first thing you spent your money on once you saw, what was the first big check you got, and what was the first thing you bought with it?
I think it was probably like $25,000 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some clothes.
And so, what was your mom thinking at the time?
You know, my mom wasn't around. She was dealing with her own, you know, trials and tribulations in life with relationships and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave me the blessings to, you know, there's something that I always wanted to do as a kid, and she gave me her blessings, and she allowed for me to, you know, to move forward as an adolescent, because I'm at a young age, like between like 13 and I got my deal when I was like almost 14 and a half.
Okay, so I met you around, so it's so funny because we've had this talk when we were in Texas together.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't remember how we met, which is crazy, because usually you remember how you met, and I still have no idea how we met or whatever. But when I met you, I think it was after B2K, before China,
right?
After B2K. Okay, so you were B2K was leveling out, I would say, right?
Yeah, I believe at the time, B2K was disbanded. I get it later. Yeah. B2K was disbanded.
And when that happened,
Marianne was solo.
Oh yeah, Marianne went solo. That's
Marianne
right.
Marianne was solo, and that's around the time that we met. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that time, so you have now reached all this success. Now you go, you're on the roller coaster ride. What are your thoughts around the time when we knew each other?
Oh, sheesh! Just how fast things can change, and adapting to, you know, not having this machine that you were a part of, that you helped build, you know, actually operating around you every day. Even though you have the brand that you are, those years, it took me time to understand what I got, who am I, what happened to me, what's this experience?
But how old were you, though? You were like...
Probably like...
20s, right?
Probably like...
Or not even. Maybe 20s.
I was in my 20s, probably.
But that's what I'm saying. Look how young you were when you have to. You're thinking like.
That's
a crazy experience.
What are you saying? I mean, but that's life for you. You know what I mean? You know, I try not to get so caught up in the matrix, but we're amazing human beings. Like I always say that. Like I just think that we're like amazing human beings, and I just thank God for the experiences. Because when I look back at that time, I was like, "The fuck was you thinking? Like, how did you make it through?"
Yeah.
Excuse me. How did you make it through? But it was definitely a huge transition for me, because you had to adapt to the money not coming in all the time. You know, maybe getting a quarterly or semi-annually a check. You know, I mean, you can't sustain yourself off of that. You know what I mean? And then you start to look back at the deal. You want to get bitter, but you also have to think about, okay, during that time, how much money did you make? Regardless if you feel like you didn't get your just due or this. Did you do right by that money? So you
exactly.
have to start to say, hell, you know what? You can't blame anybody in life. You have to learn how to take accountability for yourself at a very young age, even though you don't want to, but you do, because at a young age we're making our own decisions. So you're kind of grown, but you really don't have the knowledge to make that decision.
But was there any, when you were making those decisions on spending the money, were there any adults or accountants or people saying, hey man, don't do this? Or was there any training on how to handle money at that age?
I believe out of all the guys, I was the one that people thought that, yo, Raz probably wouldn't blow a lot of his cash. You know what I'm saying? But I ran through like $300,000 in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Without any financial literacy, you really don't know how to handle that. And you're not trying to listen to anybody as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You want to go buy 3 cars and a motorcycle, and you got all these fucking bills, and you just keep paying money, and before you know it, shit's gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like... And I really feel like with the money that B2K was generated, the money that was generated from B2K, I don't really feel like we got our just due. I feel like recently, you know, the tour that we just did, and I was very instrumental in putting it and producing and bringing it together, I feel like that was a good payday for all of us, because the tour did over $28 million.
Wow. And so, you had the production, well, you had putting that whole thing together.
Well, for me, when B2K did disband, it was really hard for me just to let go. I'm like, damn, I invested my life, my time, and sacrificed not finishing school and so many different things. Like, How are we just alienated from the business and we can't go out there and capitalize on our success?
What was the ultimate thing that disbanded you guys?
Definitely, it would say the fact that, you know, management and production companies were really influenced and had that opportunity to be able to tell the narrative to the labels and be able to go get that deal for Marianne, which eventually dwindled out to, you know, whatever it dwindled to, respectfully. Mm-hmm. He had a cool run over there. But it's like when you look at the artists like the Justins, Justin Timberlakes, and you look at the Beyoncés, these are no shots fired at Marianne. I've always wanted Amari to be like that top solo artist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like how he came out, it was so much backlash that he received and so much misunderstanding that that people didn't have of him in regards to how the deal was orchestrated. And I feel like Amari was probably like a pawn in that situation. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have all left together collectively, we would have had our NSYNC No Strings Attached album.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. After leaving Lou Pearlman, per se.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a lot there. You know, it always kind of like hunts me if I go down that lane, what if, what it could have been. But, you know, it's the way it was designed. You know, and especially in the old, and I'll be quick about this, in the old boy group formula, groups last, what, 2 or 3 albums?
Yeah.
You know, they tend to divide and conquer. And I just feel like B2K should have been a lot stronger.
How many albums did B2K put out?
We put out a lot of product in such a short time span. Mm-hmm. But really, 2 studio albums, a soundtrack that was considered an album, or at least counted towards an album, 2 remix albums and some DVDs. So we kept a lot of content out, which I thought was pretty cool and pretty unique for B2K. Just to supply the demand. And I say this in closing, like, just growing older in the business, you know, you have to understand the business aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? We love music, but for the most part, you have to understand the business aspect of the business. And when you understand that, then you can, you can really benefit from it. You know, for example, you had a company that invested, I don't know, millions of dollars, let's say over $10, $15 million, $20 million into my brand. I'm still Razz-B to this day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, whether they make money off me, which they still do to this day, you know, and I still make money too from my previous work. You know, you got to be thankful for the opportunity you got, and that's why I want to encourage a lot of artists to not bash these investors that are part of a company that are shareholders, because they don't want to lose money either.
Yeah,
but they're taking a risk on someone they don't know if it's going to happen or not happen.
Yeah, it's very risky.
You just gotta get in the door, and work your way to the top. I mean, we've seen a lot of artists from the Jay-Z's to the Kanye's. You know, to Nick Cannon's and so on and so forth. Bringing up Nick Cannon, I met you somehow through your magazine because somebody wanted to connect me for a fucking interview with you, and you was doing stuff.
You think it was that? Was it?
I think Nick Cannon was one of your partners or something in the magazine.
Yeah, he was my business partner.
And I think you were, I don't know.
It was definitely around the Celebrity High era. But
something around there.
Okay, so I know we're going to close out this interview soon, but so you're riding a wave. I got to take you back on your roller coaster.
Go.
So now the group disbands. You blow through pretty much all your money. What is he licks the bowl, guys? This is Razz.
Shit,
by the way, in truest form, if you don't know Razz, this is Razz in his truest form.
Fuck
okay.
What are you talking about? This is good, by the way.
This is like probably one of the most realest and funniest people. I call him at whatever. Yes, I just poured it.
Okay.
I call him at whatever time and super real. I would tell you more details, but it may be too much. But
are you funny?
But so you come down off the wave, okay? B2K disbands. You're now, you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, completely.
So what is your thinking process now?
That's good. That's a good question. So during that time, you have to say to yourself, like, you have to remember who you are, what you've accomplished. Regardless if you are still trying to figure out your business, trying to collect royalties that are owed to you, you don't have that money at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that B2K had sustained a big enough brand, I was still able to, you know, get bookings, 10 grand here, 5 grand here, 5 grand. So that was cool.
So you're like an entrepreneur. You're selling yourself?
Oh, yeah, completely, because I'm my own commodity. So I always knew how to create opportunities that I can bring value to as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, as an executive. I always create opportunities, even if it wasn't me on the forefront. A lot of people want to be like, well, it's either me on the forefront or not.
Mm-hmm.
No, if Razz-B can come in and add value and help broker a deal and do this and do that, and I can slide myself in there, or whether I get a little shine or however I appear, bro, take that role.
Okay.
You know, some people didn't really take time to learn the business. I took time to learn the business, so I've always been able to sustain myself. Like even on a bad year, I'm still doing six figures.
So how did you end up in China? Because by the way, I went looking for you. You like disappeared, and then I was like, oh, he's in China. But this was before
that was crazy. I mean, you know, during the breakup, you know, B2K was still super hot, right? Mm-hmm. So you're still at all the parties and still connecting and networking. It's all about how you handle your network. Your network is your net worth. Your net worth, mm-hmm. they say, right? Mm-hmm. There's some truth to that. NBA Entertainment League, for those that are in this industry and you know about the NBA Entertainment League, you know it was this place where us celebrities would go and we would play in our own version of the NBA E.
Okay.
Right? So there's a lot of big networking going over there. For example, one of my guys, he's like, yo, how would you like to perform at the Great Wall of China? I said, huh? I said, what? You know, and he sent me over a letter of intent. It was a company called BTB Communications. They wound up hooking up with Hal Uplinger, who produced the Live Aid concert. Mm-hmm. So this was like some huge shit. I tried to get the boys to be a part of it, but they weren't really interested, or maybe they couldn't hear me, or just a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. So that didn't go through. It fell through. They put out press releases that I was going to be a part of the show. I was the events youth ambassador. I was going to host the show. And last minute, they were telling me, yo, get your deal done, get your deal done. Because they're running out of money and they're gonna sell the show to another promoter and he may not want to honor the deal that we had previously. They wind up not honoring that deal. I wind up calling a really big lawyer and putting out a boycott letter, which hit them hard, which brought them back to the table to negotiate. You gotta play hardball sometime.
You'd play a lot of hardball, by the way.
You got to, but it got them. I bought one of the biggest lawyers. He was actually Chinese and American. It was pretty cool how I did this one. And, you know, some people you can bring a lawyer and they can sell out or they cannot sell out. Some lawyers partner up with each other and they cash a check and they tell you whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like I found someone that really understood what I was trying to accomplish. He worked out a deal where I could still go, but I couldn't bring all the people because I was supposed to perform, all the dancers, all the people that I promised and talked about we were going and all the money. They didn't want to pay me. And I was like, fuck that deal. I don't want to go. You didn't honor what you said. Kick your bowl over. But I regret it because I would have been in someone's history books 100 years from now from hosting the first concert at the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
That sparked the interest. Someone hit me up four years later about an opportunity to go to China.
Okay.
As soon as it happened.
You turn one more time.
Listen, I love you too. Soon as I got that message, because I was sad, bro. I was on fucking 106 and Park telling everybody I was going to China. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you. And it don't happen, my uncle's like, yo, if it be in God's will, you'll go back. Got that message on Facebook, went to China, never looked back.
Okay, awesome. So then what I love about you too is—
like, I was like, fuck it.
You like disappeared and then you popped up on social media and then you're already dominating on social media really fast. Like, I love when you pop into a comment section and everybody gets all excited. Oh shit, Raz is in the comments. You know what I'm talking about, right?
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo. and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know,
they kind of get excited, like, oh shit, what's Raz gonna say now?
I've been very vocal, and I've been holding back with a lot of restraints because I've been doing a lot of work on myself, and I just really just, you know, I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
But I think that excites people, though. I see people get really excited. They be like, you know, the eyeball emojis, like, shit.
Yeah, nah, I mean, you know, for real, it's like, I feel like I got the short end of the stick with the B2K deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, they decided to go on Marion solo. I feel like I would have been the better bet.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk.
Okay.
Just no shade of Marion. I just feel like I would have been the better bet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's a lot of things, a lot of qualities that I have that I feel like, you know, it takes to be to sustain a solo career.
Mm-hmm.
He's done very well for what he's been given. I just feel like I never had that opportunity, right? And I feel like what I've done, I took the long road to carve out the space that I have now, which brings me to Bad Boy Season 2.
Bad Boys.
Which is the hottest network in town, Zeus Network. You know,
this is your baby. This is your creation.
Well, no, this is not my creation. This is Natalie Nunn's creation and Lemmy and the Zeus Network's creation.
Okay.
I'm just happy to be able to be a producer on it and to be a star on the show.
Okay.
With that being said, I feel like this is a great opportunity. Because this show is so huge, you know, it's in everyone's face when it comes to our culture. So I feel like they'll be able to have this opportunity to be on the show. I'm excited to see, we just dropped the trailer today, so I'm excited to see the outcome from this. Because it was definitely an experience in an environment that I've never experienced before. But I say to say that I'm still relevant. After I came back from China, I brought the money to the table. I brought the trademark. I created the Millennium Tour that caused this nostalgic wave that took all these Millennium Tour 1, Millennium Tour 2. So I'm a part of that. So I'm I don't want to say a puppet master, but I'm in the back creating and cultivating and producing deals. That's where I'm at now. I'm a modern day mogul. You know what I'm saying? I'm an executive in this industry, and I'm here to bring and give opportunities to those because I understand what it's like to not have. I understand what it's like to go through the drought. I understand, you know, what it's like to be broke. I'm going to lick my fucking plate again.
Speaking of all that, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, like, do you feel like there's added pressure?
Why? What kind of pressure?
Added pressure to have money being that you are a star?
I definitely think there's pressure. I mean, you know.
Because, like, as a star, you're like, I would never go to work at Target, right? You would never go back. So, like, do you feel, boy, you put so much Lowry's. You put way too much Lowry's on that. But do you feel like there's mad pressure on you to, like, maintain a certain level of income or to even stay relevant? Because even working with Nick went through a roller coaster too.
Of course. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people try to say they don't care about what people think, but, you know, people judge you based off of how you took care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? From your nails to your hair to, you know, how you manage your money, how do you move and stuff like that. You don't have to prove anything to anyone, but you always want to be solid in your own shit. You know what I'm saying? And despite what people say, they may not say it, but they kind of move a little interesting around you based off of how they appear. Because if you pulling up in a motherfucking Aventador, a $500,000 car, and you got them, not that you have to have this, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of very wealthy people that I know that don't do none of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
to each his own. You know what I'm saying? I think you need to be wealthy and calm and whole in your spirit, and you can move and walk through anything.
Yeah. Well, I've been in this game for quite some time, and the people that continually pop up to stay relevant, like Nick or yourself, you guys work your asses off. You know what I'm saying? And I always tell people, like, whenever I'm like, I think I'm working hard, I'm like, ain't nobody working hard as Nick Cannon, because that I remember people chiefing up in the studio being like, you know, I just want this from Nick. And I'll be like, that nigga has like 10 jobs. You guys are sitting in the studio smoking up. Like, what are you talking about?
You know, it depends how you want it. Like, for me, I've been very, I wanted B2K to happen. It took me 16 years to put the crew back together.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, from securing the trademark, securing the money, you know what I mean? I wanted it to happen. I willed it back together. Me, you know, the things that I felt that was taken from me, this is life. You got to go take it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
I went out and just got it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Somebody did this to me, or they said this or that. Cool. Take the hits. So don't ever look at me as a victim. I'm just saying, this is me 10 toes down, staying on my own journey. Fuck what niggas is talking about. Guess what? You really want this smoke? You can really get it if you really, really want it. But guess what? You're really not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to focus my energy over here because you a bitch ass nigga.
Yeah.
That's why I feel deep down inside about energies that are like, but this is directed towards any low level frequency energy that is not high vibrational, that is allowing for me to manifest and create and continue to travel the earth.
What advice, signing out, what advice would you give to anybody that has made it dipped and they're currently in their dip state? You know, there's tons of people in the industry that's cool.
You know, be real with yourself. Be real with yourself. Transparency is super key. Really, really understand where you're at and be honest with yourself. When you're honest with yourself, you can say, okay, this is where I'm fucked up at. This is where I need to shed this. This is where I need to move this. Because you have to be able to make adjustments.
Like living your truth.
Yeah. Don't live in like...
In the fantasy world of like likes and Insta,
I'll give you an example.
Right?
Like, I'll give you an example. I've been living... I make a lot of money because I just know how to hustle, right? So I still maintain and live the lifestyle. I splurge. You can ask my girl. I splurge and I live because I just know how to make money. Yeah. But imagine if I didn't splurge so much, right? Imagine if I, you know, maybe probably cut down on certain
we
areas.
We talk about this.
Right? No, we do. And imagine if you cut down on certain areas and start applying certain things. You just got to be real with yourself and where you see yourself, because at the end of the day, you're the master of your own destiny, right? So you're going to either... build some dope shit, or you're gonna fall to the wayside. It depends how bad you want it. So what are you willing to sacrifice for that? So anyone out there that's been through it, it's like, yo, nigga, you've been around. What do you want to make out of it?
Yeah.
So I mean, I had to come to that sense with myself. So and that's when I started making better decisions, better financial situations.
Financial situations?
That's financial, not situations. You have to make decisions, better financial decisions.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? In regards to, as well as better friendships. You know, who can you allow to be around you?
Yeah.
Who can come to your work environment? Who's going to help you this? Who's going to hinder this? Like, as much as I love my brother, you know, you just did an interview with Orlando that I set up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for example, you know, my brother, as much as I love my brother, he's not the one that can be around my business. This is my own blood.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Right? You can't have people around that's going to do what?
Drain you or be negative. Dim your light. All of the above. Anything negative.
So,
after being rich and being broke, are you afraid of ever being broke again?
Oh, I'm so afraid of being broke again. I mean, I've made so many decisions. Like, listen,
but your confidence is so high.
No, I'm always make money. Like, but seriously, it's better to have that cushion and have that stability.
Yeah.
So when the famine does come, you feel me? You can sit back and you can coast a little bit.
Yeah.
I literally just bought some glasses for a photo shoot, spent about $995 on these glasses and took them hoes back the next day, okay?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I found my other iPad, my iPods that I was looking for that I couldn't find. The ones I just bought, you can bring them back in 2 weeks. I got that $369 back, or was it $269? Like,
and by the way, I took your speaker, which I use every day.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
Let's go. Let's just talk about Bad Boys and where people can keep up with you and catch up with you, so we can close out and get you on a plane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's about that time. Yeah. No. I'm really, really excited. Yeah. We just dropped the trailer today for Bad Boys Season 2, Texas. Executive produced by Natalie Nunn. Shout out to Zeus and Lemmy and LJ and the whole team over there that produced a phenomenal show. Like I said earlier, it was a hostile environment. You know, for me, it was something different, but through my, you know, my mental strengthness and my anger management skills, I was able to sustain myself as much as possible. But let me tell you this, these motherfuckers is crazy.
It sounded like crazy.
No, these motherfuckers is crazy. And I just feel like just being Raz B, you already come in with a target on your back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm there to trying to like, yo, how can we take this thing to the next level? How can we build a brand? And I feel like we somewhat accomplished that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's more seasons to come. So, I want everybody to subscribe and tune in and check out your boy Raz B, you know, and support the production because they definitely spent a lot of money over there.
Yeah. And then also you can keep up with Raz online on Instagram if you really want an entertaining day. Mm-hmm. You'll see him dipping in and out of comments you will smile. I promise you, whenever I see you in a comment section, I'm like, let's get it.
Raz B_B2K. It's your boy signing off. Make sure you subscribe, Bad Boys. You know what I'm saying? Eating While We Broke.
Eating While Broke. And you will, I'll get an updated Eating While Broke dish because his ramen is probably not going to make it in the cookbook. So we're going to get an updated dish.
We got some work to do.
On his dish for the cookbook. But thank you so much for coming and spending time with me.
This is fun.
Thank you. And hooking up. Shout outs to Raz for our Orlando Brown interview.
And we're producing everywhere.
Yes. So I'll see you.
She's determined about her business. Like she flew out to make sure she got her interviews.
With my toddler.
I don't know how you made that happen, but you did that.
And then I'll see you in Atlanta, hopefully.
U42, let's go.
Yes, you too.
Lock in.
U42.
U42 is the future of content creators owning 100% of their content and being able to monetize at 100%. It's the coolest shit you've ever seen, and it's on a decentralized platform on the Ethereum blockchain. Some shit you've never heard of. Tune in, YOU42.com.
Check it out, guys. Peace. For more Eating While Broke from iHeartRadio and The Black Effect, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.